Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm a big believer in Sam Reinhardt as a player and a person. I think he's an excellent hockey player. But the fact of the matter is, he wasn't going to be here past this year, and he was entering into a UFA situation. So as we're building this out, you know, you look at these things and you're projecting where are we going to be in a year, two, 3 years, and you have to make hard decisions. And that's where we were, obviously, with the Sam decision.
Kevin Adams from way back when they traded Sam Reinhardt. Wasn't going to stay. Tried to get what they could for him. They got Jiří Kulík. They got Devon Levi. One of those had to do it. And that was the offer. I don't think we were too mad about the return at the time. I still don't think that there's too much to be said about the return. You know, it's years ago. A lot of the first hour of the show, good morning, Jeremy and Joe. We're not just, you know, punishing ourselves and just being mad at everything. Not today, at least. A little bit of, you know, What's to say that hasn't been said? Some fun stats. The Panthers win. They're good. We found out Matthew Tkachuk had his leg muscle torn off the bone. One of the stats today is Corey Perry has lost the Stanley Cup in 5 of the last 6 years. Thank goodness.
That poor guy.
He did win it once. He
won it as a rookie, I think, didn't he?
Didn't he win it with Tampa?
No. He won it with Anaheim in 2007.
Okay, so...
So I think he's 5 of his last. I think the other year he didn't make it, they lost in like the first round.
Okay, that's right.
So he hasn't won.
He's with Tampa in 2023.
Right.
Yeah, he only won once.
Okay, so he won in his second season in the league.
Good, thank goodness.
In 2007, and then never won it with Anaheim, obviously, after that, and then left Anaheim. And since he's left Anaheim, he's been in the final 5 of 6 years, and he's lost all 5 of them with Dallas, Montreal, Tampa.
Montreal's kind of
so
funny.
Actually, he lost it with Montreal to Tampa.
Then went to Tampa,
lost with Tampa, and then went to Edmonton and has lost twice in a row.
That's the reverse Chris Kunitz.
Shouldn't the Sabres acquire him? This is the caller last night. Like, isn't it better to lose in the Stanley Cup final? No, and here's how I'll prove it to you. I want to sign Corey Perry to guarantee that I will lose in the Stanley Cup final next season. I'm in. Let's do it.
Bill's Banter tweeted that at me, too. Shouldn't they have Corey Perry lock in a playoff berth?
Yes, 100%.
Corey Perry.
That does probably hurt once it gets to 5.
I feel like it hurts when it gets to 1.
5 out of 6?
3.
You got to feel like, what do I got to do here? You got to play for Florida. That would be funny,
Edmonton,
wouldn't it? If he goes to Florida in the offseason.
And then they lose.
And then they lose in the final to whoever's in the West.
803-0550. One question I asked that was kind of fun. You can get your thoughts on the Sabres if you'd like. Because, you know, mixed in with the is a little bit of like, the offseason starts today. And if they're ever going to do anything and, you know, make a splash, whether that's Byram or Paterka. I saw yesterday... I'll say this about Paterka. It's the noisiest rumor mill you've ever seen in your life.
Yes, every day I got it.
Every day.
Cervelli yesterday
Frank
again.
Cervelli is, you want to say, like plugged into Paterka's agent? Maybe that might be where this is all coming from.
Gotta be, or something like that, yeah.
Yeah, Frank Cervelli on Paterka said yesterday that it's firing up, it's red hot. Like a bunch about how, like, I got to find the exact quote here, because it was... kind of nuts. Like in the last 4 days, the Paterka thing's gone off the the JJ Paterka file has really heated up in the last 4 to 5 days. That's Frank Cervelli on Sportsnet 960.
Mm-hmm.
So every day we're getting a Paterka this, Paterka that, and you know, we're 2 weeks away from signing offer sheet season. We're 9 days away from the draft, and maybe you don't want to trade Paterka. Maybe it's a scenario where it is really red hot, and Kevin Adams is fielding a lot of calls, but it's a lot of teams that think they can get over on the Sabres. And you know, it's not exactly a bidding war so much as it's everybody throwing something at you and seeing if it would stick.
Yep.
You know the guy in your fantasy league that's terrible and he's got a player and everybody likes him, but no one's going to make really big offers. Just going to see if you can – let me submit this offer in the middle of the night and see if I wake up to an accepted trade.
Yeah.
So that could
they
be happening.
They post on the message board, like, hey, I'm looking to trade this guy. And then everybody reaches out to them and, like, you reach out and, like, what about a second-round pick and this guy? He's like, yeah, what about A.J. Brown?
Right.
Like, all right, that's enough of this conversation.
Right. So, whatever. That's out there on Paterka.
Well, because really it's hard to – isn't it hard to see them –
winning
getting,
a Paterka trade?
Getting better right now with a Paterka trade. You could win it, but the Reinhardt trade is maybe an example of, though, like, it can take a while to win it, even if you feel good about your return. The Sabres got Tage Thompson out of the Ryan O'Reilly deal.
It took a while.
It took forever.
Well, that's probably
the Reinhardt trade was 4 years ago now. You feel pretty good
about
both individuals that they, to different extents, more about Kulik.
I feel better about Kulik just because his path is like already, he's here.
But to different extents, I feel like you feel pretty good about both guys you acquired in the deal. And at the moment, you still 4 years later have like nothing really to show for it. You're expecting to,
well,
but not in 4 years.
The difference is in the Reinhardt trade, you heard the comments there from Kevin Adams, where we are, where we're going, that's the start of a rebuild. And they are not doing that right now. So if 31 offers come in for Paterka, you're saying like, hello, yes. If it starts with picks and prospects, see you later.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you have, you answer a call on the other hand, like, oh, well, if I gave you a pick and a prospect, would you give me something from your team?
Mm-hmm.
You could combine Paterka and Byram. I mean, the Sabres trade Steve Ott and Ryan Miller in the same deal to try and add first and second round picks. And that was,
yes.
So, add it together, maybe. Maybe they both go to Vancouver for Pedersen. I don't know, whatever. The offseason's underway, and we can talk about it with you at 803-0550. One quick little fun conversation we had in the break was, we see it, there's the highlight, there's Phil Pritchard, who's getting the cup ready.
Yeah.
This guy's life is, of course, going around with the cup. And then in a game like last night, he's got to feel like he's a is he every 30 seconds buffing the cup? Or is he stand there for 2.5 hours while they say, hold on, Phil, and go. Like, and then he buffs the cup.
Yeah.
When the camera goes to him, like, and we're clear.
Okay. I like to believe that he's just standing
Non-stop
there all the time.
Buffing
and
it.
Buffing the cup. Yeah, at all times. Until he hands it over to Barkov, and then he doesn't see it again for... Well, he follows them around, doesn't he? When they have it?
I think so.
Keeper of the cup, and then you're in the background at all times.
The Panthers broke the cup last night, too.
They broke it. They dented it?
Yeah, there was a crack in the top rim.
Really?
Mm.
Like, really small. Surprises. Not like what Colorado did.
I'm surprised this isn't a bigger story. The cup got cracked last night. Does Pritchard run in and grab it away from them the second that happens?
It'd be funny if they stripped them of the cup. Actually, it's Edmonton's. If you guys can't take care of it, you can't have it. You got to be respectful of this thing.
I mean, like, what if they lost the cup? Then you, I think, have to be stripped of it. Like, if when you refind it, like, you don't get it back. You lost this.
It sounds like the plot of a National Treasure 4 movie or something.
Lost
like
the Stanley Cup?
The Stanley Cup has been lost.
I mean, is there a protocol for that? Hey, Phil, it's Barkov.
Yeah.
Phil, I got something to tell you. We don't know where the cup is. It's gone.
It's the plot of the Hangover movie.
Maybe. There's got to be a process.
Well, there's more than one cup. I think there are three.
I think there's four.
Now there's four cups. All right. Well, then you got plenty.
But the other two of them are like not really the cup, right?
There's a show cup. There's a hall cup.
The one that just sits at the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Like that one's not the cup. You're just sitting at the Hall of Fame. That's not the Stanley Cup. The Stanley Cup is the one that the players are kissing and being awarded by, the commissioner. That's the cup.
Oilers lose.
And McDavid loses again.
Feels like they maybe should have gotten a goalie.
Wasn't everybody saying it too at the trade deadline? They're not going to get a goalie today?
Right.
And they didn't. And the guy, what is he doing last night?
Stuart Skinner.
Just put it out in front for everybody to have. Like, so casual. He had a lot of those moments in these playoffs.
I thought about coming in this morning and asking Owen about it, our little As a Goalie segment for our senior goaltending correspondent, because on the broadcast, Ryan Boucher is on the broadcast there, right?
Yeah.
Like, they're trying to say, like, maybe he this, maybe he that. And Brian Boucher's like, that's the worst play I've ever seen in my entire life.
That is.
Like, he's like, I wish I could say something else, but I've never. I mean,
Brian Boucher, he
wanted him off the team at the moment it happened.
I think that's probably the last game we see Stu Skinner play with the Oilers, if they're smart, because you can't have Connor McDavid or Leon Draisaitl and trust him any more than you have already.
Yeah.
But that goal, that should be like, that's a fly ball that you're just getting under as a center fielder. Like, that's the easiest play that he should have made all night.
Just the cross glove, grab it with your left.
Grab it, dude. Like, be a little bit of an athlete. Instead, he like,
I think
thrusts his chest at it.
I think I'd rather he headed away.
Seriously. Got a
better
chance.
Mask
it was
into it.
Just a complete brain fart from him. Like, I don't know what to do. I'm just going to put something at this.
And it really felt like the game was over right there.
Yeah. And that, like, 3-0. That's it. Exactly. Yeah. Like, you're at 2-0. All you need is a little McDavid magic, and, like, you're alive. 3-0, then, like, I think that's over.
Yep.
And you just can't trust that guy to go back in the net for them, I don't think.
Well, I believe he's one more year, but
yeah,
2.6. Like, maybe he's their backup next year.
They're going to need to find somebody else to play goal for them in the playoffs. Like, I can't see them wanting, or even, frankly, McDavid saying, I'm okay with this.
Yeah.
Because you just can't trust it.
We'll get a call from Rich here 1 second, but I just want to make one more point. We asked the question, or somebody called in, I mentioned. Somebody called in and said, would you rather have a 14-year playoff drought or go to the Cup Finals back-to-back years and lose? I've got a person to ask that question. Ask Jeff Skinner.
Mm-hmm.
He had never made the playoffs until this year.
Right.
And just went to the Cup Finals, and he didn't play a lot in the playoffs. But he played last night.
Man, you know, he did. They put him up on the second line at one point because I think they just needed to find scoring
at
some point. He had a couple chances, but didn't get one.
Rich in Lakeview. Hey, Rich, good morning.
Good morning. Hey, listening to you guys talk about what would you rather. If you came to me when I was in high school in the 80s and now on the cusp of retirement and tell me Miami would have more Stanley Cups than Buffalo by the time I was closer to retirement, I would have laughed. Said, they're not even in the league. What are you talking Miami? Florida, stop. And listen, I would have loved to be there. I mean, for you guys, it was the party in the plaza. For us, it was just the absolute glow of growing up and watching the Sabres and being a part of it. So, yeah, I would rather be there. I would do that. But, you know, yesterday I was just running through the rabbit hole of hockey, and I ran on a Cam and Strick podcast, and Tage Thompson was on it. I tell you, I learned more about this guy in an hour, a little over an hour, than I have in all the years he's been in Buffalo. It was candid. Didn't throw anybody under the bus, but there were so many positive and negatives and read through the lines. Number one, how important his dad was to his own development and what he does as a player, and how competitive he is. You know, Tage has always seemed kind of quiet and, to me, you know, gentle giant. This guy is fired up. He wants to be compete. It's so into it. But then I don't want to read too much between the lines how unhappy Paterka is. Not saying Tage is unhappy, because when you cash that check every Friday, it's got to be nice no matter where you are. But echoing the weather, why he moved off of the waterfront, how terrible it is in the winter, how gray it is. My dad got stuck. The fight where nobody stuck up for him. But also you learn about how awesome Reinhardt and Eichel and Skinner were as teammates. We've never heard this kind of stuff, but what there wasn't was any hope for the future. My daughter did D3 soccer. The best player walked her through and tried to sell the school. His wish is, maybe I get to play golf with Josh once, because they asked about Josh Allen. And they're like, you don't have any endorsements? He goes, not in Buffalo. We don't win too much. We don't get touched. He's like, nothing, not even a free car. He's like, nothing. Have you golfed with Josh? I'd love to, but I've never done that. Like, what is going on? So when Paterka says that, it almost seems like they're biding their time, waiting to get out. Because you figure on this podcast, it would have been, oh, we're looking for the future. We're looking up. They're bringing in some guys. Next year is going to be the year. There was absolutely none of it. And it wasn't negative, but it wasn't positive at all.
Yeah. Thanks, Rich. Tage is on with Andy Strickland.
Yeah.
Did a big, long conversation with him. One of the clips you mentioned, you know, we can get to a couple things there, but he talked about, and they show the highlight of him getting hit against Stefan Nuisen is who did it, and how nobody on the Sabres responded. I actually wrote something down to bring up today on that, and he did talk about how he's like, I'm the one on the ice, and it was pretty tough to see that nobody did anything there, and Lindy in the room said, like, that can't happen again. And the thing I thought of, Joe, I don't know if we want to do this, because this would be like, you know what we need? We've got our bet board. We need another one. We need a snarky bet board.
Yeah, bet wall. A bet, like a different
because
flavor of bet board?
Because this is one that we don't want to bet. I don't know if we want to actually bet this.
Uh-huh.
Will that happen this year? Somebody gets hit and the Sabres don't respond appropriately? It seems to happen most years. We talk about it a lot. It's been... I mean, Miller, Lucic, go all the way back to then.
Sure.
And in the number of years since, I'm sure it doesn't happen every year, but will that definitely not happen this year?
I honestly, I'm at a point now where it really depends on individual players. Who's on the ice?
Well, in that
case, is Matthias Samuelsson on the ice? Because then absolutely it's going to happen.
Well, Zucker was on the ice, and he didn't see it, and Zucker got extended, and Zucker said, is that the game after where Zucker talked about how important it was to be on the power play?
He talked about that night about that part of it, yes.
Like, the game's not over.
But everybody on the team sounded different. Lindy sounded different about it. Darlene sounded angry about it and said, that can never happen again. Because that would be my answer. Who's on the ice? If Darlene's on the ice, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
If Benson's on the ice, it's not going to happen. Isn't that a problem, though?
If Krebs is on the ice or on the team.
My number one defenseman, maybe that's not a problem. You probably want that, right? You want your captain, your leader, your best player to be that way. Because I have no question about whether Darlene would have jumped in there. Is it a problem, though, that the second name I mentioned is the 19-year-old 5'7 dude? Because I have no question about whether he'd jump in there. But if my 6'4 defenseman that's under contract for $4 million for six more years is out there, yes, it's going to happen again. Yeah. But I don't know. Tage doesn't do things like that. Like, he will defend teammates without even thinking about it. So that's kind of where that was a letdown, was it felt like it was the perfect storm of guys out there that... You got a rookie. You got a Zucker is, I guess, whatever for this. And then I got two defensemen that it's not really in their DNA. So, I don't know. When I think of that part of all of it, though, like, Tage and Darlene are the two that I care about the most, right? Like, aren't they the leaders of that room? Shouldn't they be the leaders of that room? Tage did say in the postseason press conference that, like, Darlene will give it to guys, and he gives it to me. Mm-hmm. Like, he said, he'll get after me about stuff, and I give it back to him. Like, that, I think that's what you want to hear, is those two specifically being willing to kind of hold everybody accountable to do your job, because, you know, maybe even if the source of it is, well, I'm sick of sitting here and watching you all fail because I've been losing my entire careers. Those two have been here for 7 years now. Longer than that, right? They're on the 10-game win streak team.
Right.
So I want them to have that dynamic, and I liked hearing at the end of the season that maybe they do have a little bit of that, those two specifically.
To the point, Rich, about, like, Reinhardt and Eichel as teammates and all that, like, you know, there's been a million stories told about what went right, what went wrong, and, you know, to hear Tage talk about those two as, like, good teammates, like, you're right, that's not a story we often get. The closest I remember getting that was Mittelstadt did an interview about it, and Darlene as well.
Okposo, like, went to the final when it was Florida versus Vegas and talked about them.
Yeah. I mean, like, you get plenty of players that say, like, they weren't the problem. So, anyway, 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550, which I think all of us know by now. What else?
There was a brawl in the WNBA last night.
Is
brawl strong?
It might be strong, but... It was
a brouhaha.
We had ourselves a physical game, and Caitlin Clark is back, not only raining threes, but also getting lit up, right?
Yeah.
Like, she got bodied to the ground in this game.
She got punched in the face, and then there was, like, a little collision between the two, and then someone ran in and, like, open ice checked her
body
to the ground.
Yeah.
And then one of her teammates, like, grabbed another player's hair and ripped her down, and then it was, like,
a brouhaha.
I think, we'll go with that one.
A dust
Did it graduate to Donnybrook?
I feel like Donnybrooks are only in hockey.
Really?
I don't know. Feels like
you can't have a Donnybrook unless it's on the ice.
No, if the Bills and Jaguars fought, would you call it a Donnybrook? No. It's a fricus.
I think I want to call it that, though. I think I want to introduce it more into the language of everything else. You're right, though. I don't know when I've ever used it that it wasn't. I just did. Yeah. On the court.
It's a scene of uproar and disorder, a heated argument.
There you go.
A Donnybrook. You know what we need? We need, like, the Beaufort wind scale, but with these, like a fricus.
You know? Wait, like, which one is more aggressive than others?
Yeah.
Like a scuffle is below a Donnybrook.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, for sure.
A dust up.
Yeah.
Because you said brawl, and you don't want to go to brawl.
No, that's the highest, isn't it?
Is melee above or below brawl?
Ooh.
A melee.
A melee is below. Because a melee could just be two people, right, fighting. A brawl implies that everybody's in it, I think.
Okay.
So I would go brawl over melee. Yeah.
Well, I mean, if you want just, like, I'm searching Google, brawl
what about a rumble?
Is a noisy, disorderly fight. That's a brawl. And a melee is a confused fight.
Confused fight.
Yeah, yeah.
What does that even mean?
I don't know. We'll dig further.
What about a hoedown? That would be lower or higher?
A hoedown's a party. Hoedown's like a dance.
It is?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay. That makes sense. A rumble... A slugfest, a turmoil.
Handling the big issues we are today.
Yeah.
803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550. One last thing. The point about Tate saying, you know, snowy and gray skies. A team played hockey yesterday. But half a party in the plaza
I was going to say, he hasn't been here in May yet.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Has he ever been in Buffalo in
May?
Although
this May might not have been a good one. But still. The point stands. 803-0550 to join us on, you know, really anything for that matter. Happy Wednesday, June 18th. The draft is in 9 days. And we're waiting on the Bills. Ooh, actually, we did get a potential Bills date on something we will all have something to say about. I'll tell you.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What that is coming up in mid-July.
It's incredible. It's a feeling you can't really describe. And, you know, seeing the family and everyone up there and everyone that supported me and helped me get to this point, there's nothing. Words can't put this into reality, how great it feels. And such an incredible group. Everybody wrote us off from start of playoffs. They had everybody beating us in every round. And we just had that fire. And we knew we had something special. It's incredible. It's incredible to be part of this group right now.
Brad Marchand of the defending Stanley Cup champions claiming that everybody had them losing in every round.
Just ban them. Ban everybody that tries to claim that when you're favored to win all of these series. Except maybe they were underdogs against Toronto when they were down 2-0.
Right.
Ooh.
Jeremy
so
and Joe.
Disrespected.
Good morning. Edmonton falls and Florida wins. It's I've got an email here that just came in from front office sports, like a, you know, memo with a bunch of storylines, business, sports business stories. And one thing here, it says at the bottom is Florida's continued dominance could be a boon for the growth of hockey in the American South, a significant opportunity for the NHL, especially as Atlanta pushes to secure a new franchise in the potential next era of league expansion. You know, one thing about the South and all this expansion in the last couple of years, like, man, they've taken all the cups. Tampa, Florida, Vegas.
Yep.
It's been a while.
The last like classic hockey market to win it was who?
Chicago? Washington?
Washington. What am I doing though when I say classic? Am I just thinking of original six teams really? Is that all I'm doing?
You're thinking of cold places?
Cold places and original six teams basically.
Is that wrong?
What was the last really cold place to win a cup?
Colorado.
Yeah, Colorado. Okay. They're pretty cold.
Yeah.
All right. There you go. That's not that long ago.
So quick note, I teased something going to the break about a Bills date in the future, and there's a little bit of a guess involved here, but Adam Schefter tweeted something yesterday that at first I was jumping on, ooh, July 15th, that's our day. The Chargers are going to reveal third jerseys on July 15th. And my first reaction was like, oh, that must be NFL, the Rivalries series, when we get all these new jerseys, and it's not. Because the Chargers are not in the Rivalries series. Okay. It's the AFC East and the NFC West, not the AFC West. Some point, okay, though, this year, we're going to get teasers. We're going to get, hey, here's a quick glimpse at, what, one of the sets? Yeah. And if you're the NFL, like, let's game this out. Eight teams are getting a new jersey, a new uniform setup. Four in the AFC East, four in the NFC West. They will wear these uniforms for 3 years,
yeah,
in these divisional matchups. So the NFL, that likes to win every single month of the calendar and dominate discussion, and you know, after the Stanley Cup is awarded, they'll have PK Subban on the Shouty Shows, and then they're going to talk about Dak's legacy.
Yes.
When is the right time to start to roll out these uniforms, these eight new uniform sets? Is it around the time of the NFL Top 100? Because that's another event on the calendar, mm-hmm, for the NFL where, oh, let's start arguing about who's good and who's not and who's underrated. And so I feel like we should at least get some sort of teaser or one set or something. Here are the Chargers just dropping a third jersey on July 15th. When are the Bills?
Yeah.
When's this rivalry series uniform happening?
If I were them, what I'd want to do, because what am I trying to do? I'm the NFL calendar and trying to own the year at all times. So where do I want to put it? Can I release like one a day?
In July before training camp?
In July, like, hey, Tuesdays and Thursdays in July leading up to training camp, we're going to release one rivalry uniform a day. So here's the schedule. The Bills, you're releasing yours on Thursday, July 15th,
yeah,
or something. Like, that would be the best time to do it. They probably just drop them all at once, though, don't they? Wouldn't you think that's how they roll it out? Remember when the NHL did their reverse retro series?
Yep,
like,
yep.
That was just one day, bam, there's the drop. There's the video from Adidas, and here's all the jerseys.
Yep.
So that seems to be how teams, I think, more typically do it. Premier League, I think you get it more of a trickle-out.
Yeah, roll-out.
Yeah.
And that's not even a...
Well, that happens before their previous season's even over.
And those are also a lot of leaks. That's, look, I found this at a sporting goods store.
Okay, okay.
A lot of times someone just takes a picture of a jersey, like, oh, here it is.
Maybe that's how we find out about. Although with football, you still won't get the full, because the jersey's only one part of it. That's what right. You buy. But I'll be more interested in like the helmets and like the combo of everything.
Alex in New York City. Hey, Alex. Good morning.
Good morning, gents. How are we?
Good.
Good.
Thanks for the time. So I wanted to touch on Paterka and then the Dolphins, but it's a beautiful day. My blood is boiling. I don't know why. Well, I do know why. Because of the Sabres. And I don't care about Reinhardt. It's about Paterka. Last week, we were talking about trade ideas for JJ. And it's not because, like, oh, we need to trade JJ Paterka. It's just like, oh, he's a low-cost, high-value asset. Maybe we could help our team. And then Monday, it's like people are talking about the JJ Paterka sweepstakes. And it feels to me like the NHL is like they're picking on the Sabres. And you mentioned this earlier in the show, Jeremy, like Kevin Adams could be had. And maybe we could get a good deal for Paterka right now, but it's just like as a matter of principle, you want to deal from a position of strength.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we need to hold on to him. He has no leverage right now, really, in my view. He's not mm-hmm. going to play in Germany, so I think it makes more sense to wait till the season gets going and go from there. But right now, I don't want to do that. I think you guys are on the same page there. Maybe not.
I am mostly. I mean, I don't. Part of it for me is I don't really see, unless they are packaging him with other things and going and getting like Jason Robertson, and maybe I should, you know, consider that possible. I don't think they're getting better from a Paterka trade. So, no, do what the Browns did.
Yeah,
Miles Garrett's Paterka's not Miles Garrett, but say, yeah, no, I know you just wrote a letter saying you want out of here, and Paterka hasn't even done that, but I'm not doing it.
Exactly. Like, go win games, and these guys are young. Like, I think that's all these guys want to do is win. That's all. And I think if you do that, if you make the right moves this summer, you can do that and keep all of these guys, and it all goes away. Next thing, Dolphins. My blood's boiling, but the Dolphins give me joy. They are the boy who cried wolf of the NFL. And I can relate because it's peak drought Bills for them right now. And they're talking about how they lied last year, right? Like, they were all on the same page, but really they weren't. Guys weren't pulling their weight, etc. And then one other thing that I heard out of Dolphins camp is that they are trying to make a more robust football operations, and their big move is to change the time of their training camp practices, like move them up 2 hours to start at 9 a.m. versus 11 a.m. And I don't think it's the most ridiculous thing. I think that could help. Like, McDermott did that when he came in, right? And I think he moved all training camp practices to 8 a.m. So it's not something necessarily to sneeze at. But the difference is that was a new regime coming in. These are the same people. These are mostly the same players, the same coaches. And it's like they're pulling one over on their media, essentially. So I'm interested to see where Marcel stands, if he's drinking the Kool-Aid or not.
Yeah, one thing that I saw on this, like, criticism even from Miami people, was Tua saying when they got to minicamp that he believes that there has been a culture shift and that it is vastly different than it was last year, when someone pointed out, like, the locker room is almost the same.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Jalen Ramsey is the only one.
He's not even traded yet.
Right, he's not off the team. He's not in the locker room right now, but that's, like, the only difference. Him and Armstead. So is there really this big culture shift, or is it just talk? Or is it just hard to believe that there would be a culture shift unless you change the coach, for instance?
Now, they're in a weird spot where lame duck coach, maybe. They've had some success. How different are the Dolphins and the Steelers right now? You have a long drought without a playoff win.
Yeah.
You have made the playoffs. You've hovered around the same-ish record for a while. Your quarterback situation is one where it's like, the difference is the Steelers do it with defense, the Dolphins do it with offense.
And the Dolphins have do it with the same quarterback every year, and the Steelers are rotating. The other difference is you can very easily get to, well, they'll change things if it doesn't go well.
Yeah.
Right? And the Steelers, there's no belief of that. That if they fall on their face, it's Tomlin. This is the Mike Tomlin show. And in Miami, what does McDaniel have to do to be fired? 7 wins? Does he get fired with 8?
I bet he gets fired with...
Just missing the playoffs?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's it?
He could get fired.
What if he makes the playoffs and they get smoked?
That could be fired. He could be fired there too, I think.
So that's the key difference, is the coach's job is on the line in Miami, and the coach's job is never on the line in Pittsburgh. Right. Ever.
803-0550. On Paterka, I don't even really think it's about his leverage. He wants to leave, and if that's the case, and again, like, you might think it kind of popped up and now it's gone to a crazy degree, and I would tend to agree. Like, every day, Frank Saravalli seems to have something on Paterka and a new trade rumor, and maybe there was another one yesterday that Tampa wants in on the Paterka sweepstakes.
Yep.
So, okay, like, everybody's in on it. I said on the air here in November, I heard that the Sabres and Paterka might not be a long-term match because there's stuff that has kind of all come to this point. Like, all right, if they've known it this long and it's not changed, it's not really even about contract. He just doesn't want to be here.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're a player and you've heard the GM say multiple times publicly, well, guys want to be here. Like, oh, okay, I don't. You live up to your word? Let's go. Let's make it happen.
Well, or is the GM's word changed? Or has his mindset changed? That was a long time ago that he was talking like that, right?
Yep.
Maybe he still says it, and I'm just missing it. But like, when I think of him saying guys that want to be here, it's when they traded Reinhart and traded Eichel. And that was 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and what's changed?
I'd like to believe that you'd be more willing now, especially with the spot you'd be in, going into year six as the GM as opposed to year, what, two, three? That, okay, the guy doesn't want to be here, but he's really good. He didn't. You could argue he didn't want to be here last year, and he put up 68 points for you.
Sure.
So okay, don't want to be here while scoring 80 for me.
Saravalli, he said this too. Like, it's Frank Saravalli. You don't have to think he knows what he's talking about. It's totally fine.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You make the call here. On his daily faceoff rundown, he said, at least a quarter of the Sabres roster is unhappy with the direction of the team. He listed Power, Tuck, Samuelson, and other core players could enter the trade market. Power would be a
Samuelson,
new one.
I mean, have fun
Samuelson,
with that.
Of course. But, like, Power would be a new one. We haven't heard that one too much. But that's the thing.
Even
like,
thought of that.
If I just told you, like, hey, I've heard a quarter of the Sabres roster is unhappy with the direction of the team, you would think, like, well, that might make sense.
I might say it's only a quarter.
You might wonder about the Cousins trade, how that goes over, whatever. Anyway, congratulations.
Which quarter is my question? Is Beck Malenstein upset with the no disrespect to Beck Malenstein, but like I'm not really worried if he's upset with it.
Well, Marcel Louis-Jacques joins us at 9, talk a little bit about the Dolphins, and we'll take your calls as well. If you want to jump in, we got plenty of time for you. Jeremy and Joe on WGR. I learned today that this morning was the earliest sunrise of the year. It is not the longest day of the year, but it's the earliest sunrise.
Right.
So,
which seems like it shouldn't be. I would have thought that the longest day of the year would automatically have the earliest sunrise.
Yeah, me too. Learned today that's not the case.
Right.
We did this right before the show. If we talk about this for too long, I can feel my head expanding. So, how would that work? So the next couple days, the sun rises a little bit later, but the day is still longer because it sets later. Tapping out. I don't want to know. One of those things I don't even want to read. The explanation.
Yeah.
But Pat Hammer tweeted it, and then we looked it up, and sure enough, yes. It's often that the longest day of the year is around the 21st, 22nd, the solstice, right. And the earliest sunrise moves. Sometimes it's near the 14th.
Right.
I don't want to know.
It's above my.
Just see you later. I'd rather talk about the NFL salary cap and, you know, not likely to be earned incentives and all that. No thanks. All right, Jeremy and Joe, good morning. 803-0550. DJ, we'll get to your phone call on the other side. It's not like, you know, we're not just bathing ourselves in misery this morning. Also learned that Bills offensive coordinator Joe Brady is a Panthers fan.
I did because I saw a tweet that wasn't 1-0.
Back to back.
Yeah.
With the rat emoji.
Mm-hmm. He's a Panther fan.
Has Joe Brady lost his focus? Of course I'm kidding. All he tweets.
Where is he from?
He's from right near Sunrise, Florida.
Okay. Yep. All right. So no one would accuse him of being like a bandwagon. Like,
nope.
Okay. Yeah.
Nope. He's
Pembroke Pines.
He was born in 1990 and he's from right there in Florida.
Which, like, right by Fort Lauderdale also, which is by the arena. Because I discovered going down there a few weeks ago how far away that arena is from, like, Miami.
Oh, yeah.
It's Fort Lauderdale. Miami's, like, with traffic, it'll take you an hour and a half.
Wikipedia says
from Miami to the arena.
He's from Pembroke Pines, which is a little bit inland.
Yeah.
Which is where Sunrise also is. So,
okay. Yeah.
Congratulations to Joe Brady on back-to-back cups. And Brooks Koepka and Dustin Johnson, who were there last night as well at the game. Jeremy and Joe, we're going to break in more of your phone calls, 803-0550 on WGR.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.